have evidence, right, to something, and we can say, we can make assumptions from the evidence. We can say this is more probable
no,
than not.
No, you use assumptions. You use assumptions to guide. Yeah, you're already 100% wrong. So that's why I'm interrupting you. You use prior evidence, you use prior reasoning and also evidence in order to guide you toward predicted evidence. And then you find that predicted evidence that is consistent with the idea that you had.
So it's consistent. So that does, you can't prove it. So it's a.
I don't know what you think prove means.
Can I finish speaking, please? If you're going to bring me up, you have to at least let me finish finish a sentence. Can I do that? So you can have evidence. I'm not denying there's no evidence for such things as evolution, Big Bang, or whatever, right? But you cannot 100% say this is true. This is 100% accurate because you cannot do that because. But this is how science works. It has to be able to be re-replicated and be seen and demonstrably shown to show that it's proven 100%. Otherwise, it's not 100% proof.
Are you a child molester?
You have evidence to support it. You have evidence to support it. That's it.
Do you diddle kids?
So is this how you deflect? Now, this is what you're doing.
Can you 100% prove that you don't diddle kids?
I know, but I don't have an answer for you now. So I give you...
No, I am answering. I'm proving that you don't believe what you're saying. Do you diddle kids?
No, I don't diddle kids.
Can you 100% prove it?
No, I can't 100% prove it.
Okay, well then it's not true. So we can't say that it's a fact that you don't diddle kids. You're
exactly.
a kid diddler,
say,
which as a Catholic, that tracks.
So you can't say that for a fact. The same way I can't
largest
say fact,
child molesting organization on the planet, the Catholic
deflecting
Church.
Deflecting again. Deflecting. Go ahead. Rob
no, I'm proving your by
argument.
Your own logic how this works.
You're not proving. What you're saying is that you can prove 100%. So you're saying...
I made you admit it. You can't prove that you're not a child molester. So the claim that you're not one is not one that we can say is a true claim. So you have... Do you commit to the claim that it's not proven or true that you're not a kid diddler?
No, you can't prove it 100%. But I'm saying to you, the same as this, you cannot prove it 100%.
I need you to say the words. The claim that I'm not a kid diddler is not.
Oh my goodness!
It's not 100% true.
You've simply embarrassed yourself. You've been caught out. You're full.
No, the guy. No. The guy whose own logic proved that he can't make the claim that I don't diddle kids isn't a true claim is the one that got embarrassed. Okay. Goodbye. Pythagoras did not invent the Pythagorean theorem. Thomas Edison did not invent the light bulb. George Washington Carver didn't invent peanut butter. Surprised? There are hundreds of more misconceptions you can learn the truth about in my book, Facts That Aren't True. Get your own signed copy or audiobook today. Link in the description.
Theory, it's not a fact. Creation, I would put an exclamation point there. And a flat earth. It's a fiction, yes, that's definitely a fiction. So let's go...
You know that evolution is a theory, though, too, right? So why did you say that the Big Bang is not true, it's a theory, but evolution is true when it's also a theory? And why is my camera so blurry?
It was a theory, not anymore. Because, so the evolution is... There's a lot of experiments that was done where they could observe, you know... how, let's say, viruses, you know, react and mutate and change, and how bacteria as well. So I can definitely open it for you if you want, and then I can go through it and
no need. I don't need to be told what the status of evolution in the scientific community is. It is called the theory of evolution by natural selection. It is absolutely a scientific theory.
No, I think the people misunderstand. Like when they think of evolution, they're thinking like we came from apes and all that. Not necessarily that evolution I'm talking about. So, but
what are you talking about then? Because we are apes, so we clearly came from apes.
Not really, no.
What do you mean, not really?
not okay. How can you say it? We are one second here. I have this open in my iPad. One second, I'll tell you now.
A human being is absolutely an ape.
We are similar to an ape.
We are more similar to chimpanzees than chimpanzees are to gorillas.
Yes, we are similar, but it doesn't necessarily mean we were
Are
chimpanzees at one stage that become
I know that
humans.
nobody
That's
that
what I'm trying
understands
to
evolution thinks that
say.
humans used to be chimpanzees.
That's what most common people think. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
That is quite unfortunate, and that's why I do what I do. Do you think that a chimpanzee is an ape?
No, what I did join in to talk about, it's the Big Bang specifically, the theory of Big Bang.
I don't know how much
Why
time
did
you
you say
got.
this?
I got all the time in the world, so I want to talk about
I
both.
don't have much time, that's why I want to address that one specifically.
Oh man. Okay. But let me take 30 seconds to just say something. If a chimpanzee is an ape and a gorilla is an ape, but a human is not an ape, and your rationale behind that is because we're different than they are, then that is contradicted by the fact that we are more similar to chimpanzees than chimpanzees are to any ape. We're more similar to chimpanzees than any ape is to any other ape. So that your logic there is just completely inconsistent and unscientific. So humans absolutely are apes. For any reason you would claim that any ape is one, the reasons you would have for lumping all of the apes together would have to include humans. So,
Right.
anyways,
Actually,
on to the Big
no.
Bang.
You sorry. You're right there. Actually, because I was just looking here. There's a similarity. 98% of our DNA, with chimpanzees and bonobos, making them our closest living relatives. No, definitely. So back to the Big Bang. Why do you say it's a fact?
Because of the overwhelming scientific evidence.
Can you name me one?
The Hubble-Lemaître law, the distribution of matter in the galaxy, the cosmic microwave background radiation. We
Okay,
can.
let's address the Hubble first. What are the evidence that Hubble, brought to the table that suggests that we are, apart from
All the
the
faraway
universe,
galaxies
sorry,
are
apart from the universe
redshifted.
expanding, apart from the universe expanding,
That is what it is. The universe is expanding. If you
so
agree
that's
that the
your
universe is
conclusion.
expanding, you believe in the Big Bang.
Not necessarily. That's subjective. It could have been from something else.
Like
But
what?
because the theory itself, it suggests that everything was just in one place. It was just one mass, and then that just exploded.
Do you think that the universe is expanding?
Well, that's what the scientist says. So I suppose yes.
Okay, well, if it's expanding today, then as we go backwards in the past, all the stuff gets closer together. Does it ever stop getting closer together at some arbitrary point
But would you say?
where it sat in that state for eternity and then randomly just started expanding?
Right, that's a good point.
Yeah, if you
So
think the universe is
you
expanding,
know, yes,
you
I'm actually
basically
thinking
accept the
about
Big
that.
Bang.
Yes, no, absolutely. I'm actually thinking here. So what was specifically, because I don't know, I'm trying to understand this. What was specifically that Hubble discovered that make this true? That how did he get?
All of
Okay.
the distant galaxies that he looked at were redshifted, and the farther away they were, the more redshifted they were. That is what universal expansion looks like.
Right. I suppose, yeah. Okay. It's just the other thing is, I was looking here. I've actually not looking here now. I did look into the past, the Hubble telescope, just to see the size of the lens. It's very small. How can such a small thing be
the Hubble telescope is the size of a school bus.
Exactly. No, the telescope itself, the length of the telescope is the size of a school bus.
Yeah. It's really big.
But it's still even size of a, we're talking about looking into billions of kilometers of distance. So
it's big AF, bro.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean that's not even a school bus. That's a public transport bus, and they're usually a little bit bigger, actually. But no, yeah, it's really big. I don't remember how big the lens is. It's like 3 meters, 2.4 meter lens.
That's,
yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. So the lens are not that big, you know, to be looking in the billions of kilometers away.
So you're, have you ever used a telescope?
I actually did. Yeah. When I was younger.
Okay, it was probably like fairly small, right? Like the big part of it was probably only about that big around.
Yeah.
Right. But with that, when you looked at the moon, it probably had a magnification of 50x, right?
It was very blurry, yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you mean by blurry. But the moon goes from, like, when you look at the moon with the naked eye, do this whenever the moon is out next time. But if you just stick your thumb out at arm's length and close one eye, you can completely cover up the moon with just your thumb. So the moon goes from taking up a microscopic portion of your field of view to, when you look through even a fairly cheap telescope, it depends on the lens you're using, but the moon will either take up pretty much the whole thing, or you're actually zoomed in on part of the moon. So that's incredible magnification. Now, yeah, the lens only being 8 feet across, it's like, oh yeah, but that could fit in my room. But what you're not accounting for is how the surface area squares. So you take, it's not a perfect comparison because we're talking about a refracting versus, I'm pretty sure Hubble has a reflecting telescope in it, but it basically still applies. When you take the glass lens in that telescope is only going to be, who knows, 3 or 4, maybe 5 inches across. So when you take something that's like a third, a fourth of a foot in diameter, and then compare that to an 8 foot wide one, it's not, so that'd be four times eight. It's not 32 times bigger. It's 32 squared, right? So the amount of additional detail you get from that is really, really massive. The telescopes, they don't have to be as big as you would intuitively think.
Right. I suppose, yeah, if you see it from that perspective. But there's still like the distances that they call out, you know, saying that this is millions of light years away. And then you have so many galaxies, and then in order to see all through that and then be saying that, oh, if you look into the telescope, we can see the Big Bang starting, the Big Bang basically happening. I'd be like, there's no way. Like, that's just basic, simple common sense. There's no way we have such a large telescope that you'd be able to see the Big Bang happening.
Well, like, no, nobody, you can't see the Big Bang happening. You can see with kind of some detail stuff about 400 million years after the Big Bang with the Hubble. James Webb has got that down to like 280 million years afterwards. But the CMB radiation that we've seen with different telescopes is only 300,000 years after the Big Bang, or maybe it's 400,000. But
How is that even possible?
Even 400 million years is, I'll do the calculation. 400 million divided by 0.7 billion times 100. So even 400 million years is still, that's only 3% of the Earth's or of the universe's history. Assuming my math is right here. Yeah, that seems right. So it can see, it can look back to, this is, I don't know how to say this exactly, but it can look back to, it can peer past 97% of the universe's history and see objects that are there. Not with a lot of detail. It's just a few pixels, but it can see them.
Okay, so I have a question now. Will you agree that our galaxy has billions of planets, right?
Yeah, probably over 100 billion. Yeah.
And all the other galaxies have same amount of planets as well, similar amount of planets.
Yeah, probably close to, actually, I would say it's closer to a trillion planet-like objects in them.
Absolutely. And will you agree that scientists say as well, there's over 100 billion galaxies. They can't even name exactly how many galaxies are there.
Yeah, we can, in the observable universe, we can see it's between like 200 and 400 billion.
Right. Okay, now tell me, how can the telescope pass through all that to be able to see like 4 million when the Big Bang started?
Because the space between galaxies is unthinkably large. Like on the order of millions of light years.
So they are way far apart from each other that allows the telescope to see
where we start the
moving point.
Yeah, our galaxy and Andromeda. Andromeda's 2 million light years away. I'm going to fact check that real quick. Distance to Andromeda. So Andromeda's 2.5 million light years away. Our galaxy is 250,000 light years across. So you could fit 10 of our galaxy in between us and the next closest one, if you don't count the large Magellanic clouds, which I don't count.
Right.
There's vast, vast distances, but we're actually part of a galaxy cluster. The galaxies are clustered together. And so between galaxy clusters, the gaps are far, far bigger than that even.
Right. And there is significant amount of space that the telescope can look into from the starting point and say, oh, this is, you know, apparently where the Big Bang started. And that's where, you know, that's where everything happened. Because there's a large amount of space between everything, and then there's a gap there that the telescope can look into it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, essentially. And like we know when there is something blocking our vision. You can tell with the telescopes. It distorts the images in predictable ways. It's called gravitational lensing.
Yes. Okay, another question. I don't know. I need to think about that one, because I don't necessarily think, you know, like with all those billions of planets and billions of galaxies, we will have clean view, you know, all the way to the Big Bang. But that's definitely something I can take in and look into it. The other thing I want to ask you is, why are we not in Mars yet, if the budget of the NASA for the last 30 years basically have doubled? Why did we didn't go back to the moon, and why we didn't go back to NASA? Why we didn't go to Mars?
The NASA budget now compared to when we were going to the moon, as a function of discretional spending, is way less. I don't know the actual number off the top of my head, but I can try to look it up for you, but no, I mean, it's nowhere close. Well, Jesus. Yeah. So here's a graph of it. It takes a second for it to catch up, but no, I mean, this is the Apollo days are the top of the graph. And actually, Not the top of the graph. That's 66. We didn't get to the moon until 2 years later. And you can see already how far down it was. But no, we're not spending anywhere close to the absolute dollar amount. Might be closer, but you have to factor in inflation and the gains in GDP since then as a function of our GDP. It's nowhere close. So
sorry. Are you saying we were spending more than now?
The raw dollar amount today versus when we went to the moon might actually be more, but that's because of inflation and the fact that the US GDP has gone up. But as a function, like, we have so much money that we can spend every year. NASA is getting a smaller cut now versus then by a lot.
Sorry, because I'm just looking here and on the 66 and years that we went to the moon, it was around 6 billion a year. And in 2026, the current budget is 24.4 billion. So if we went from 6 billion to 24, and you're saying we're spending less money than before?
$6 billion in today's money would be $60 billion. So it's about a third. Yeah.
Okay, on that perspective, okay.
Well, that's the only valid perspective, because it's about what you can do with a certain amount of money. You could trade used gum for a house in 1966. Today, all of King Midas's silver can barely get you a studio apartment. So,
right. Okay, no, that's a fairly good point. I need to look into that as well and see, you know, how much could it worth, you know, the 24 billion back compared to the 6 billion back in the days. But yeah, nice. Thank you very much for having me. That was a nice chat.
You're welcome. Want to learn how to make people do this?
If that's true, then what? Hold on. This is really complicated.
It's not. This book will be your guide. I debunk all of the common anti-scientific arguments, plus some uncommon ones. Every single copy is personally signed and shipped by me. There's even an audiobook. Link in the description. This video and all my videos is on my Patreon ad-free, and you can get a free copy of my first book by being a member too. Plus, your name will appear in the end credits. Thank you.